This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Great to have you with us today on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. We'll have first four basketball games on the air for you today, as that'll be here on Double T 97.3. And then High School Fan Zone tonight at 6 on 100.7 The Score. Tomorrow it is Red Raider basketball from the NCAA basketball tournament. So
feels like it's taken forever to get to that game.
Well, and
imagine how tomorrow's going
right,
to be.
Wait till tomorrow because it's an 8:40 tip time. Could be a little bit of a wait. And Jeff, you're anticipating it not starting at 8:40. Is that what I'm here to understand? I think I've heard you say that.
Mean, it might be 8:50, it might be 9 o'clock, but I don't think it's starting at 8:40.
Okay. So we'll have pregame coverage at 7:30, and then play-by-play at 8:40.
To be fair, if this was a baseball game, anytime there's four games in one day,
sure, right.
The last game is not starting on time.
I feel like the NCAA tournament does a better job spreading them out.
They do, but it's still like I would always bet against the house on that, saying that game is going to start on time for the fourth game.
Yeah, what I'll be curious about tomorrow is, and I think all of us are in this boat, is what does it look like for Darion Williams and Warren Washington?
Yeah, I think I'm decently confident about Darion Williams. I've heard good reports. I just assume no Warren Washington.
Yeah.
I think he's Dunskies,
okay. And if you don't have Darion Williams, what?
Whoa. Why do you want to bring a brother down?
I don't. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, that's, or he's limited, or.
If you don't have him, I expect you to be coming home the next day.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. Do you think this is a close game? Do you think this is a game that is a double digit win, or is this a 1-2 possession game when it's all said and done?
Man, yes, Chuck. This one's hard for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's less than 10 for the Red Raiders, but not 2. So, like, they win by 6.
Okay. If you looked at this and we just went, well, gosh darn it, you know, you kind of look at how NC State finished the season. I mean, that's really what this is about. I mean, they beat Louisville, they beat Syracuse, they beat Duke, they beat Virginia in overtime. I mean, Virginia scored 65 points. That's, you know, they scored 2/3 of that last night. And then they beat North Carolina. And you would think that, you know, especially for Duke and North Carolina, I mean, it didn't end up hurting North Carolina because they still were a 1 seed, and probably wouldn't have really changed their fate that much. But I mean, when you play for a championship, you still want to win, mm-hmm. you know. And they beat them by 8. The question is, have they peaked? That is the question.
Mm-hmm.
That is the question. And then the other thing that you look at is, and you just kind of look at their roster, and you look at a couple of guys, and then the height that they bring, and you wonder about your ability to rebound against them. And how well are you going to have to shoot, you know, to win that game? They only in regular season play, they actually get out rebounded by their opponent. They only out rebound their opponent by 5 rebounds offensively. So it's not like they're just killing it. They do have 4 that average in double figures. Their leading scorer is DJ Horn. He averages 17 a ball game, and then there's another DJ Burns. DJ Horn, there's no periods. It's just DJ, okay? DJ Burns, D period, J period.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a little bit of trivia there for you. And then Jaden Taylor, he averages 12 a game, and Casey Morsell, he averages 12 a game. In terms of three-point shooting, they average making about 7 a game. They give up about 7 a game. So, I mean, again, this is a team that 22-14, they were 9-11 in conference play, and they too weren't great away from home. 4-7 in all games, and 4-6 in the conference. And I think that's the other question for the Red Raiders too, is okay, how do you do in you know, neutral site games? And you know, it's like North Carolina State's just won 5. You know, here in the last week.
Yeah, I don't think that's a major concern. Do you know, will it be a bit of a home court advantage for them? Because they're
a lot
closer.
They're closer, yeah.
Yeah, whether maybe that. I don't worry about the neutral site thing as much.
Okay.
Who knows, though?
What do you worry about in this game?
Their size.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very skilled big.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have the size to match up with him, number one. And so if he gets the ball down in the post, I would think they're going to go 4 out and him in the post. And if you're going to just go one-on-one with Robert Jennings with him, I fear him getting into foul trouble. I feel you're having to play Yolajo a lot and rely on that. Not that he's not a talented player. He's just a young player.
Mm-hmm.
And him having his way in the post, A – and then you having to adjust, and he's a great passer. He's a really good passer as well. So you having to adjust, so if you're going to come and try to get the ball out of his hands and double, that he's finding open cutters or shooters, and then you've got a whole nother issue.
DJ Burns is 6'9", 275, so he's a load. So that's a real problem. Just feed the big fella inside, right, and see if. Now, maybe you can get him in foul trouble.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, maybe sometimes that's the best way to go at a
you know,
good
just,
big.
Just go right at him and see if he's, you know, a little anxious. Especially early on, you know, when, you know, you're nervous and you're trying to perform well, and maybe you can go right at him. But he's certainly a force. There's no question about it. So we shall see. Their leading three-point shooter is DJ Horn. He shoots at a clip at about 41%.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is March the 20th, 2024. With this day in sports history, here is Jeff McGuire.
1954, gentlemen, the 16th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship took place. LaSalle beats Bradley 92-76. The Explorers small forward Tom Gola, G-O-L-A, is named Tournament Most Outstanding Player.
Okay.
1973, Pittsburgh Pirates right fielder Roberto Clemente is elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame 11 weeks after his death in a plane crash.
Sad deal.
That was sad. Man, that was sad.
1983, in a clash of tennis legends, Martina Navratilova outclasses Chris Everett Lloyd 6-2, 6-0 to win her first of 5 straight WTA Tour championships at Madison Square Garden.
Bitter rivals.
1989, baseball announces that Reds manager Pete Rose is under investigation.
Would not go well for him.
The story can play out. We'll see what happens the next few days. He's just under investigation right now. It's fine. In 2000, Plenette Pearson scores 19, and the number 11, Texas Tech Lady Raiders, has a 34-point has 34 points off of number 21 Tulane turnovers for a sweet 16 berth, 76-59. And in 2020, after 20 years with the New England Patriots, 6-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Tom Brady officially agrees to move to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 2-year, $50 million guaranteed deal. It is National Ravioli Day.
You're ready for me to say that, aren't you?
What, ravioli?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about when you said ravioli, I immediately thought of we're having beefaroni, but that's not ravioli. It's not ravioli.
Beefaroni is different than ravioli.
I don't know what the difference between the two of them is. I don't think I've ever had either one of them.
How have you never had ravioli? Like, Chef Boyardee ravioli.
I'm with Jamie. Yeah.
That stuff that comes out of that can does not look appealing to me.
I mean, it's just noodles and hamburger with tomato sauce.
I probably would like it, Jeff.
I'm in complete agreement.
I don't know where to go from. The Stig, 65. Spike Lee, 67. Jamal Crawford, 44. Holly Hunter, 66. Mookie Blaylock, 57. And Pat Riley is 79.
Mookie Blaylock is 57?
Mookie Blaylock is 57. And on this day, in 1345, according to scholars at the University of Paris, so an accredited university, the Black Death is created on this day in 1345 from what they call a triple conjunction with Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars in the 40th degree of Aquarius, occurring on the 20th of March, 1345. The Black Death, also known as the Plague, swept across Europe, the Middle East, and Asia during the 14th century, leaving an estimated 25 million people dead in its wake. Now, despite what these 14th century scholars claimed, the most common element known for the Black Death is caused by a parasite a bacteria that would be infecting fleas that were on rats, that when the rats died, those fleas jumped on humans and got people sick.
Jeez.
The first appearance of it in humans was actually probably in Mongolia around 1320, although recent research suggests it may have existed thousands of years before in Europe. Usually people who came down with the plague first complained of headaches, fevers, and chills. Their tongues often appeared a whitish color before there was severe swelling of the lymph nodes. Finally, black and purple spots appeared on the skin of the affected. Death would follow within a week. Later, a pneumonic form of the plague developed, which was less common but killed 95% of the people who contracted it. And that is this day in sports history.
Why in the world would you bring that to us?
I know, like every day it's
according
like
to scholars at the University
black
of Paris.
Cloud, man.
So I don't care how smart the people in Paris are. That doesn't mean I don't want to listen to their research.
Is this not a morning drive story?
No. Well,
conjunction of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars caused the Black Death.
Yeah, sure thing. And those were scholars. Yeah, right, like we could have just stopped there. We could have stopped with the oozing of rats and
the
fleas.
Tongues and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Man, Robert says this, I love ravioli, especially fried ravioli. I've never heard of fried ravioli.
He's very good.
Okay.
It's noodles and meat. Ultimately, that it's a stuffed noodle.
Man, alive. Man, it's been a lot of gloom and doom this week at 6:50-ish. High school fan zone tonight. Garrett Luft will be our man with the plan. He reports that the Friendship Girls track coach Stephanie Shorts will be on at 6.
Shortest,
okay, excuse me. 6:20, Bridget Rogers from Lubbock Cooper Girls Soccer. And then the Liberty Cooper Girls Soccer coach, Keelan Ellison, will be on at 6:40. Okay, that'll be tonight for the High School Fan Zone from 6 to 7. Tonight, Double T 97.3 will have basketball. First four games coming to us from Dayton, Ohio. And I can confirm this. I saw this as well just now, thanks to Dan in Dallas alerting this to us. He said, I saw photos of Warren Washington getting on the plane yesterday with no boot. Maybe good news. Maybe good news.
All right.
Maybe good news. I'm still with Jamie, though. I think I'd be surprised to see him play, but I'd be curious as to how that went. I mean, if he can help you, then by all means, put him in, right?
Warren Washington is the Buffalo Bills of the Texas Tech basketball team. I just expect the worst and hope for something better.
Okay.
So I expect him to not play at all, but if he plays, it'll be positive.
Expect the worst, hope for the best.
No.
What?
Expect the worst, hope for something better.
Hope for something
better. Don't hope for the best. I mean, just for something a little bit better.
Hope for something
better. That would be assuming you had high expectations if you said hope for the best.
That's what you say to yourself every morning when you come in. Expect the worst, hope for something a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. it's life every day, right? You got to be prepared for things to go wrong, right? Yeah, you got to be ready to adjust. Yeah. Not just this show. I mean, whatever comes your way.
The whole deal. Yeah.
You get a flat tire or, you know, your co-host flies by you on the Sharpabon. You got to be ready for that. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think you beat me here.
I did beat you here.
Yeah.
I did.
I didn't know we were keeping track.
Well, I'm not keeping track. Okay. I just want you to know that I'm not keeping track. I don't have a little check mark, you know, by the day that says I beat Jamie to work.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Lynn, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today on Lubbock Sports Station. Yesterday, Double T 97.3. I was going to say yesterday. Yesterday was the first day of spring and the first day of spring practice. And actually, today is the first daylight day of spring because the spring equinox was last night at 10:06. So while it was technically the first day of spring, today is the first daylight day of spring. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, good. Glad it makes sense. The Red Raiders began football workouts yesterday in preparation for the 2024 season, which will be Texas Tech's 100th. Coach Joey McGuire predictably was asked about his quarterback room, and here's what the head man had to say.
Yeah, so, you know, Barron took every rep that he would take with the ones today, you know, and so he had a full practice. Now, this is a little bit shorter practice because it's the first day, and so there'll be times that we'll kind of pull back on him and let Jake or Cameron or Will get some with the first group or the second group. But Barron got all the reps with the ones. Today, Jake got all the reps with the twos. But whenever you're sitting there and you're looking at with the twos or who it's going to be, and there's some really good competition. I mean, Will Hammond's come in, has done a great job. He's very serious about football. He loves football. He's got a big arm.
That's Joey McGuire. And the thing that I'm most curious about is for Barron Morton is what does his arm strength look like, and how's that going to play out for him? And just some comments that he made, Jamie, that were in the AJ this morning, made it sound like he's not quite there yet. And while he said it's his shoulder injury did not require surgery, quote, spending hours and hours still in the training room trying to get this thing healthy. So I think that's, I don't know if it's a concern, but I think it's still there. And then this quote as well, I believe this is from Joey McGuire. This offense is going to be very explosive. This is from, I guess, Barron Morton. Once a healthy shoulder comes back, we can open up the playbook and dive into some of the plays that we didn't get to last year. So here is, Barron Morton. Talking about last year's lessons for him.
Yeah, adversity, for sure. You know, that taught me a lot this year of, you know, you can't do everything for the team. You got to rely on a lot of guys to win ball games, and that's what I really learned. And, you know, with the face of adversity comes opportunity for greatness. And so, you know, right now we're on the uprise for greatness, and that's what we're striving for.
He also said to open up the playbook and take the shots we need to take downfield when it's time to take the shots. We couldn't take those last year, but with a healthy shoulder and some guys up front that are going to do a great job, we're going to see more of that. And it's kind of what we talked about a lot last year, not being able to throw the ball downfield because of that because of that shoulder injury, but
or not even just down the field, but like if you're across the field, whatever, just didn't have the zip on his passes, or accuracy, or the accuracy. I think that was affected as well.
Yeah. Does anything there concern you when they talk about still trying to come back from that? I mean, I realize that, you know, we're talking December, January, February, March. It's been 4 months.
And we've got how many more?
I mean, this is March. This is, you know, we've got another five or so. So.
Yeah, so I'm not that concerned.
Okay, all right. Here is another comment from Joey McGuire. This is on the wide receiver transfers because obviously you've added guys to that mix and how that's going to play out for you.
Yeah, so Caleb Douglas is playing outside on our right, opposite of Coy. Coy's playing on the left. You know, so you've got outside today, you had Caleb Douglas and Jordan Brown. Josh Kelly's playing in the slot. So today you had Josh Kelly, had a huge catch. I mean, everything that I thought that guy was going to be, that's what he is. He's got really strong hands. He's a strong route runner, loves football. I'll tell you, you know, he wore number 3. That's a big deal to him. And I told him, you know, number 3 is earned here. And I said, I have no problem you wearing number 3, but you got to earn it. And so he's wearing 18 right now. And he said, Coach, if that's what I need to do. Guys, in this day and age, there's not a lot of guys that have wore their number for a long time. And that number's open. And they transfer to a place that they're not asking for it. And then they're upset when they don't get it. So that tells you a lot about him.
Well, and then the guy that everybody wants to talk about is not available this spring with Micah Hudson. Mm-hmm. So I guess he'll be behind to a degree when you start your fall workouts. But I'm certain he'll be here all summer. But
I think Kelly will have a bigger season this year than Micah Hudson.
Okay.
I mean, you see the numbers he put up at Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
You would like to think in our offense he'll have a bigger year.
Yeah, and just the adjustment that you've got to make from playing high school football to Division I football. I mean, it just doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, when you look at a guy like Jordan Brown, he's 5'11". He's a senior. He's 190 pounds. And then Caleb Douglas has got height at 6'4", 205. Man, you love having some height to be able to throw to, you know, and be able to get some advantage over those defensive backs. And so that gives him, you know, maybe an advantage as well. If he comes to Tech after 2 years at Florida, he'll have 2 years of eligibility. He's only played in 13 games at Florida, but had 21 catches and 308 yards and 3 touchdowns. So maybe he can be a contributor for you as well. So they're off and rolling, and we'll see what happens. Here's one last thing from Baron Morton. He talks about those new weapons, his wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this offense is going to be very explosive. You know, once a healthy shoulder comes back, you know, we can really open up the playbook and, you know, dive into some of the plays that we didn't get to see last year. So, you know, really excited. You know, those guys have been tremendous all offseason. They've gotten them, like, I've seen them grow since they've been here day one and up where they're at now. So, really excited to get them, you know, rolling in spring ball and, you know, see where they can go.
I think that just answered your question about a healthy shoulder.
Yeah.
Not there yet.
It's not there yet. Yeah.
Just what I want to hear. 4 months after the season ended?
Well, like Jamie said, I mean, you got, you know, another 4 months.
I think you got a lot of time.
You got a lot of time, too.
You'd rather it be healthy.
Well,
especially when they're, you know, practicing with the new weapons and getting timings right and all those things that need to happen in the spring.
Well, I think the other thing that's going to be interesting is as these 15 practices kind of pile up, how does his shoulder respond each day?
Yeah, how does it feel afterwards?
Yeah, it's kind of like a pitcher, right? You know, you want to go, okay, well, how's this feel kind of moving forward here? So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Micah Hudson's out with an injury, so he's not available for. But he's expected to be available for the summer and for the spring. So we'll see. We'll see on that. So it's he had an arthroscopic surgery on his left knee that's keeping him out, but he's still obviously rehabbing from that and trying to get himself ready for the fall. So it'd be interesting to see what the guys have to say as they're kind of moving forward through spring. I mean, you'd expect all the happiness after day one, right?
Yeah, sure. If not, that'd be pretty disappointing.
Yeah, right. We have a gloom and doom, like, well, you know, we got the plague over here, and we're trying to, you know, keep everybody alive. Right?
That would be bad.
That would be bad. That would be bad. First game for the Red Raiders will be August the 31st against Abilene Christian, team that you beat in baseball last night. It is 7:24 and some change here this morning on the morning drive. We'll have Jamie's question of the day next on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to go with something that we just kind of touched on a little bit earlier. And I will ask you the question heading into the 2024 Texas Tech football season, as you sit right now, what is your biggest concern for Tech football right now?
I think it changed yesterday. For me, I maybe probably foolishly assumed that Baron Morton would be healthy or healthier than what it seems like. I mean, I didn't go to practice yesterday, and I wasn't at the media availability. I had some conflicts. So that's just so you know. So I'm just basing it on what I've heard and what I've read. But man, I just the fact that he's still working on that. Maybe it's being honest to a fault, which is okay. I'm good with that. But I would tell you, the health of that shoulder is a concern. Is a prime concern going forward now.
Okay.
Well, I have confidence that we will get answers because I don't feel like it was that you are without talent on this side of the ball. You are filling an awful, awful lot of holes on your starting defense and on some guys on your defensive line that were just key players for you that I don't know that we have the answers for yet. And we've seen the Texas Tech defense under Joey McGuire have a lot of success with the right people. I hope you continue to have the right people. I think you do. Like I trust the process, but you've lost a lot of defensive snaps this past year to graduation.
I think it's a good answer. I get the Baron one as well about his health. I'm just going to base mine a little bit more on what we saw last year. And I'm surprised this wasn't Jeff's answer. I'm going to stick with the offensive line.
Okay.
Until we see them be better than they were last year. We know you lost some guys from last year's team, and maybe it was addition by subtraction. I don't really know. We'll have to see how it goes this year. You've got a new offensive line coach. Who didn't recruit any of the guys that are here for the most part. And so I just wonder how that's all going to work out. I mean, at the end of this time next year, are we going to be saying, okay, well, now the new O-line coach was able to get his guys in. Those were not his guys. So now that he's got his guys or start recruiting his guys.
Yeah.
Right? Are we going to be saying those things? Because that,
sure we are.
That leads you to think this year, this upcoming season didn't go well along the offensive line. So just call me a bit of a rehashing bad history or whatever you want to say, but I just feel like I'm going back to till that I see the offensive line play better, I'm going to worry about them. And I don't think the offensive line was terrible last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've got a...
But you still would like them to be a lot better.
Yeah, and probably if they were a little bit better, you probably wouldn't have made a change at offensive line coach either.
Yeah, it definitely factored in.
You know, and maybe there were other factors there that went into that decision to make that change. I don't know if it was, I really, with regard to the offensive line, Jamie, I wonder, because I get the impression, okay, that it was more about how your offensive line performed or how your coach performed as opposed to who was available. Because sometimes you see an assistant coach out there that is a person that you had a relationship with or that you have worked with previously and you kind of know what they can bring, or they bring something to the table beyond just this. In this particular case, it seems like it was the decision was made, we're going to make a change here because we don't like how things have gone, not because Clay McGuire was available.
I would agree with that. I would agree with the point that I don't think it was about that Clay McGuire was available.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was more about not being happy with the current offensive line coach. And again, I'm not in complete belief that it was all about what last year was, what you did last year. Otherwise, to me, you would have gotten rid of him when the season was over.
Yes. Yeah.
He's not some recruiting guru that has everybody had everybody attached to his hip that you were afraid you were going to lose all your recruits.
Right.
If he wasn't there.
Yeah, because it happened way
clearly
after the
there was a difference of opinion, a difference of philosophy. There was an incident or something. You know, and I'm not claiming something nefarious, but maybe there was an argument between him and the head coach. I don't know. But clearly there was a difference of opinion on things, and that's what led to making the change when they did.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say clearly. That's kind of my guess as to what went down. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, I think you would have been looking for the best offensive line coach you could get right after that bowl game was over.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that decision was made sooner than we think. Maybe some duties were changed, et cetera, to the point where it was obvious to those inside, but it hadn't been revealed to those of us that are outside.
Yeah.
So at any rate, I think that's fair. I think both of you guys were probably spot on. I'm probably a nervous Nelly a little bit with regard to the quarterback.
And well, quarterback's obviously very important, and his health is very important. And the fact that you've had a rough go of keeping quarterbacks healthy, no doubt.
Yeah. And so,
again, I thought Barron wasn't as good last year as he was the season before. And I think health had a lot to do with that. So if he's not at 100%, that does concern me.
And then you kind of wonder, okay, well, if he goes into the season, let's just say it's 95%, how much of a hit can he take before he's back to where he was last year?
Chuck, I don't know that.
But that's what every quarterback, right?
It is. It's just when you start off.
If you're 95, that's really close.
But if you start off dinged up, what are you going
to
say, Jeff?
There's only one wrong answer to this question of things that concern you. Taj Brooks. That's the only wrong answer. Every other thing that you mentioned could be a perfectly acceptable answer. He's the only wrong one.
Okay.
So don't feel like you had the wrong answer.
Okay. 7:39 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Boom, boom, boom is next. We've got just a couple of more days to spell. So if I hope to get above 500, which is really what I'd like to do.
We start today.
It's got to start today. I got to start a three game streak right now.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you tomorrow. They take on BYU. That'll be at 6, play-by-play at 6:30. That will come to you on 100.7, The Score. We'll have Red Raider Hoops tomorrow night as they take on North Carolina State in Pittsburgh. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know that I've seen what that arena looks like. So I understand that they got, it's 90 feet and hoops on each end and, benches and things like that. But I'm just kind of curious what that place looks like. So it'll be fun to see that tomorrow as Texas Tech takes on North Carolina State. Tip time scheduled to be at 8:40 tomorrow night. Last night, Red Raider Baseball, they won over Abilene Christian 9-4. Had some nice hitting performances last night. Cade McGee, 2-for-4, 3 RBI. It was on one swing of the bat there in the bottom of the first inning. Drew Woodcox two for five, had two RBI, had one swing of the bat that went over the fence. It was a good sock for him. Gage Harrelson went two for four. TJ Pompey went two for four. Kevin Bazell went 0 for 3. He was the DH. I heard you talking about this.
He did walk two times.
I heard you talking about this yesterday, saying he's not quite ready to catch yet. Is there any, I mean, not that you're anxious, I guess, maybe to replace your catcher, because Dylan Maxey's been doing pretty good back there, but is there a timetable for him, do you think?
You know, initially we heard it could be up to 3 weeks, so maybe after this weekend, maybe he would be able to at that point. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I have not heard anything new on that. So he's just, you know, right now you can see his timing's a little bit off, so mm-hmm. he's kind of working to get that going once again. But you're right about Maxey. He's been really good. So it's not as if you're – you know, there's a enormous gap with him back there yeah. behind the plate and at the plate. He swung it well and come up with some big hits for you, and hopefully he can keep that going.
Shout out here to Grant, who says he is listening this morning, a Red Raider alum from Laconia, New Hampshire.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you, Grant. He's listening this morning on the Double T97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Wow, that's
Laconia.
I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that right, but New Hampshire. Yeah, we've not had many New Hampshireans, you know, that have weighed in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Well,
listening on the Double T97.3 mobile app.
Not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. So that's good. I'm going to start using his. Pseudo name as opposed to his given name, because we think this is who this is, right, Jeff? Red Raider Two Guns? Okay. Red Raider Two Guns reports that Baylor lost 18-3 at home to Sam Houston. Ew. It's not good. But.
Not good at all.
It's not
good. You scored 5 runs against right. them in 3 days.
In 3 days.
Sam put up 18 in one night.
Bad day at the office.
So what does that say to you?
That Baylor has really good Friday. A Saturday and Sunday pitching compared yeah. to the midweek.
I would say that they, yes, so they don't have a lot of depth in their pitching staff, and the Red Raiders, with their struggles offensively, never mm-hmm. forced them to use a bunch of their pitchers and never got deep into their bullpen to find out that they weren't that good back there. So that's a credit to what Baylor was doing, but it was on you as well.
I was going to ask you how the defense was last night, but when you only give up 4 hits, it's hard to screw it up, right? But I guess you could, because the ball was hit a lot last night, I'm assuming, because there were only how many strikeouts last night? 8 strikeouts. So there was the ball was put in play 19 times.
Yeah, I think the defense was solid last night. No errors. That was good. I didn't see anything where it felt like plays that should have been made that mm-hmm. weren't or anything like that. So I think you're happy with what you saw last night. I wonder if Coach Tadlock's going to settle into this lineup with, you know, with Harrelson being the guy in center field, Lopez at short, and Pompey over at second. You don't want to take TJ's bat out of the lineup. And I think he's looked, you know, solid at second. There's been one hiccup that I can remember in the Baylor series. But, yeah, I think he's been solid. And Tracer, after a couple of rocky performances, has been pretty solid. So you really need to get Tracer's back going.
Does it look comfortable?
I think it's getting more comfortable.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
Tracer looks comfortable at short. He just sometimes doesn't make all the plays.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think TJ has had to learn a little bit to get used to playing second base. He's probably done it a little bit, but he's the number one shortstop coming out of high school in the state of mm-hmm. Texas. I bet he's played shortstop a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody wants to know about the first inning stretch of balls, misses, or bad calls with regard to Zane Petty. He had 4 walks in that first inning.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially he was nowhere near the strike zone, and so I surely wouldn't go with bad calls.
Okay.
I think as you got deeper into that inning, that once he kind of started to – gain his command a little bit. There were some closer pitches that were taken as ball, called balls, but I mean, from my angle, I can really only judge if it's high or low. I can't really judge if it's inside or outside, and so I didn't have any beef. I didn't hear the tech coaches squawking about it or whatever. Zane was just really struggling with his command, and when you're not throwing strikes, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt from the home plate umpire. So
especially when it starts out that way.
Yeah, absolutely, right off the bat. So that's a what do we say, Chuck? Sorry about you moment.
Sorry about you moment.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's a bad high, but okay, don't go with a sorry about you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not throwing strikes, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt from the home plate umpire on borderline pitches more times than not. And so, I didn't have an issue with the umpire last night. I just think Zane struggled with his command. And again, I was happy to see him kind of bounce back after struggling with those first three guys.
Three strikeouts.
Two straight strikeouts, and then he's got a chance to get out of the inning, and he misses on a borderline 3-2 pitch to drive in a run, and then gives up a run on a pass ball on the catcher Davis Rivers on a ball that should have absolutely been caught. So, and then he gets another strikeout to end the inning and leave a couple guys on base there. So, you know, he did a decent job limiting the damage, but man, you need to come out of the pen firing strikes.
I guess the good news is for him, and what the takeaway, if I'm him, would be like, okay, it started off bad, but I finished strong, and I was able to at least have a good taste in my mouth when I walked off the mound.
Sure.
Three strikeouts.
It was almost really, really impressive what he did.
Yeah, right. Right.
Almost.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.